Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jewel.
Mic is asking it off. Can anybody hear me? Raise your hand. Oh, I see you. How you doing? My mic's been going crazy. I'm so sorry. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You know who this is. Duchess. I'm a basket case today. Here we are. It's Easter Sunday. I'm going to bring Fabiya on. Maybe if I bring her mic open, maybe I'll know whether I'm being heard by everyone. So we're going to wait for Fabiya to say howdy doody, and we'll get on with the show. Fabiya, are you there?
I'm here. Happy Easter. I was wondering what was going on. I was like, uh-oh. Do I have the right time? Uh-oh. What did I do? Uh-oh. You know.
No, you didn't do anything. I pressed the wrong buttons.
Oh, okay. That happened.
But you can hear me, right? Do I sound okay?
You sound like yourself, yes, absolutely.
All right,
better
good.
Than okay.
Well, happy Easter. I guess we'll have a show today. That sounds good.
Sounds good.
We're going to have a short one because I've been invited to an Easter dinner, and I'm supposed to be there at 6 o'clock. And so in order for me to get there at 6 o'clock, I'm going to have to shut the show down, say, 15 minutes early. It's not far where I have to go. But the topic for the day, we're going to talk about spiritual beings having a human experience and how we forget who we really are. And our intro is, who are we really? We keep forgetting the answer to this question. And in light of this, we must be reminded over and over. Well, some of us have to be reminded over and over again until we reach critical mass. Then we know enough of us are woke, quote unquote, and there is no need to remember because we're remembering automatically. You see the youth rising up today? They're waking up. These are the ones that we used to call indigo children way back in the day, and we've been waiting for the awakening of these young people. Well, they've been awake for a while. They just didn't have a job to do or know what their job or responsibilities to the face of this earth were, and they're beginning to realize that there's a place for all of them, and they're going to create that change and hopefully that critical mass. We'll also talk about the clairs, because with all of this awakening, we have that sensation, those spiritual gifts that we're all born with, but sometimes are afraid of them, don't know how to handle them. Some of us, like myself, I've been an empath all my life. I used to drink to shut off those feelings that I didn't understand. Now I understand them better. And I'm sure Fabiya will come through with some of her own experiences and gifts. So to start out, let's talk about, I'm going to read something from this article. I like to read a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Because it gives people some clarity as to what direction we are headed in. Now, whether you refer to it as gut reaction, instinct, foresight, or a certain knowingness about events that haven't yet taken place, everyone has the gift of intuition. Are you listening to the signs and signals? There was a psychic medium who explained the five clear senses and what they are and how to identify and develop your strongest clear sense in order to open the door to powerful guidance that will help you create a meaningful and magical life, because it can be magical once you understand what the gifts are, you know? Mm-hmm. So, for bio, should we talk about the first clair? The
yes.
first clair on the list is clairvoyance.
Mm-hmm.
Clairvoyance is clear vision. To reach into another vibrational frequency and visually perceive within the mind's eye something existing in that realm. A clairvoyant is one who receives extrasensory impressions and symbols in the form of inner sight or mental images, which are perceived without the aid of the physical eyes and beyond the limitations of ordinary time and space. These impressions are more easily perceived and in alpha state and during meditation, though many clairvoyants can obtain visual information regarding the past, present, and future in a variety of environments. Go for bio. What you feel about that?
Well, in our tradition, before we consult Oracle, we are supposed to enter into a meditation that leaves us open and available to receive messages from the universe. So we become the messenger for whatever the universe has to give to you. So that it's a direct message. It's not one that's tainted by our own judgments or perceptions or what have you. So oftentimes, see, I think priests are born priests. You know what I mean? So they
right.
have these different clairs with them when they come, and the priesthood, it just helps to fine-tune them for them, you know, make them more of a tool that works better for themselves and their community, right?
Right.
And so when I think about clairvoyance, I understand that that is a tool that's not just gifted to the person, but it's gifted to the community. You see,
mm-hmm.
you're not, your gift is just not for you, right?
That's true.
It is for you to utilize in relationship to those persons that are in your community and or are extensions of yourself, your family, church, your religious body, or your, group, I don't know, whatever community group you may be associated with, you know. So they're just not for you. They're for everyone, you know. And they have to be kind of honored in a way, in relationship, and respected for what these various gifts are, you know. So
many people are afraid of these gifts, you know. I mean, some parents have children that are clairvoyant, and this freaks their parents out. How is this child seeing this stuff? You know, like, what's going on here? Then they want to medicate babies.
Right, right.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is kind of freaky. I mean, think about it. We go through these things in our lives. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, we go through these things in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, for instance, I was seeing my father's stroke that killed him. Years before he actually had it.
Gotcha.
But I didn't know what it was. You understand
uh-huh.
what I'm saying? You know, I would wake up and I would be like, Mom, I was 12 years old. My dad passed when I was almost 19. He passed in October of the year that I would have turned 19 that following December. So I was like 18 and 10 months, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so it started when I was 12, and I would wake up and I'd say, Mom, I had a dream that Dad was shot in his left hand. And then I'd be like, Mom, I had a dream that he was shot in his left leg. You see,
mm-hmm.
he was paralyzed. That's when his stroke paralyzed his left leg and his left arm, the left side of his body.
Right.
So it's difficult. I mean, it's hard to carry you around. Some things are gifts because we, how can I say this? We can survive certain things because we don't know they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, so imagine what it's like to know that these things are coming and not necessarily be able to change them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a, and it's hard to also tell people that you see a fate for them that is not one that we would judge as being pleasant. You know, but it's not for us to make the decision of whether or not they should know. Because they have already made the decision when they've come to see us. You know what
right.
I mean?
So you don't just go up to a person and say, hey, yo, this is what I see. If they come
right.
to you and sit down with you in that vibrational
right.
space, that
right.
means
right.
that something within them has guided them to want to sit down with you and
right.
to know this.
Right. Exactly.
Or to know something.
Right.
I remember John Stewart used to say all the time, I'm just a mailman. I'm delivering
right.
the message.
Right.
I don't open up the envelope, read it, and try
no.
to interpret what it is
no.
that I'm seeing for you. Only you can interpret the I'm just a mailman.
Right.
You know, only you
exactly.
can interpret sometimes exactly what's going on because you're the one. And I used to say to people that when you go to a psychic, it's like going to an interpreter.
Right.
What they're doing is they're interpreting the language of spirit to you because
mm-hmm.
you may not understand it, or they're translating it into English for you to understand that vibration.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right. Right, exactly. And you may discover that you moved through different types of clairs in your whole life experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't sometimes just experience one thing. You know, it's a very interesting kind of thing, being a priest. You know, we all come here with certain, we say, ashes, which is medicines. But sometimes what happens is as we develop as people, different medicines come online. You know what
right.
I mean? You have different, so you have different kind of lifetimes in your one life. I mean, just think about how many times you've changed as a person.
Or
you
even
I mean?
Changed your name. You know, when I was growing up in the streets of Harlem, I lived in the world of Bootsy. That was my life at that time. You know,
right? Exactly.
When I leave my apartment and leave my apartment complex, I step into another life. When I go
exactly.
into that facility called UPS, the building, it's like my
mm-hmm.
life in this apartment complex no longer exists. In my realm of reality, because I have stepped into another world, and people don't understand that.
Right.
You know, if
right.
you're not in it and seeing it and looking at it, it no longer exists.
Right.
It becomes your reality
exactly.
when you're in it. Once
exactly.
you leave it, it doesn't exist anymore.
Right, exactly. And it's like that with your talents and your gifts. You may discover that as you move through life, you aren't as clairvoyant as you used to be, but you may develop a different clair. You know what I mean? It's a real. It's really
why don't we talk about clairaudience?
Right. Yes.
Clear
exactly.
hearing. You
exactly.
can see sounds or words and extra
mm-hmm.
sensory noise from sources
mm-hmm.
broadcast from the spiritual or ethereal realm. in the form of inner air or mental tone, which are perceived without the aid of the physical ear and beyond the limitations of ordinary time and space. These tones and vibrations are more easily perceived in an alpha state and during meditation, though many clairaudients can obtain verbal and sound-related information regarding the past, present, and future in a variety of environments. Most channelers, also known as mediums, work with both clairvoyance and clairaudience. There's your other. There's one. Another clair.
Exactly.
There are a number of them, but we'll one at a time. You know.
Right.
So understand.
When I was a child, I used to play something called the whispers. And I'd say, come here to my little sister. Let me whisper something in your ear. And I would make all these clicks and chatters, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when I got older, I didn't realize what they were until one of the little boys who I was helping to raise. I said, come here, let me whisper something into your ear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I whispered into his ear, I realized that that's how the ancestors communicate with me, right? And so I was like, what is this, these clicks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I studied the Khoisan language because it has clicks in it. I discovered that most of the time, whenever a click is attached to a word, it's a location. Like, it's a directional, like forward, back, through, around. Those
mm-hmm.
words have clicks to them. And I realized that my ancestors, it was like a form of, they were locating me through time and space.
I hear you.
And that's
you.
How their words were sounding. Yes, you know what I mean? That these directional sounds were. So I then had an experience where I encountered this man who used something called Geotran, where they're tap touches, and they tap the body, and they touch, and they do certain things, and it realigns your body and your spirit and so forth and so on, okay? So I looked at him, and I said, wait a minute. You have some new people traveling with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, after I did the work on you, my art changed and it became more cubist, and it was. I looked at his art and it looked like traditional African cubist work, you know. That's another story. But anyway, then he said, I worked on someone else who was from Africa and their ancestors agreed to accompany me. I said, it's true. I said, do you know they sound like talking drums?
Mm.
Right?
Right.
And I said, they're saying that you haven't been sleeping at night. Are you not sleeping well? And he was like, yeah, I'm doing all this work at night. And I was like, no, it's not good for you. You're draining your body. They say that it is going to make you have a break psychologically if you don't let yourself rest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was amazing to me how different people's ancestors arrive in time and place and space through sound. You see?
No.
So, go ahead.
Go ahead. Let you finish.
Oh, okay. I know. And so I was like, wow, mine sound like clicks, like Khoisan people, right?
Yeah.
This man's ancestors were like talking drums. They were like boop 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 boop, right? And I was like, what is this? I didn't go any further to kind of study what that was, but it was intriguing to me, you know. that these things were manifesting in a way for me to be a better priest. You know, I was having different experiences.
Not only do our ancestors communicate with us through sound, but I'm familiar with a psychic. His name is Tom Kenyon. And Tom Kenyon, what he does is he communicates with the Hathors. The Hathors are intergalactic beings that communicate through sound waves. And he picks up their sound waves, and what he does is he mimics them in meditation, meditative sounds, and it's fabulous. I also know a gentleman who has a collection of not only albums and records, but he has developed a sound system in his home that picks up the vibrational tunes of musicians from long ago. When he plays Beethoven, Beethoven is in the room playing his symphonies. This is how sensitive this man's sound system is. So there's a lot of people going, you know, on the face of this earth that communicate with their audience. Clear sounding. Now, the next one that we're going to chat into, because we don't have a lot of time tonight, is clairsentience. Now, you know, clairsentience is to perceive information by feeling within the whole body without any outer stimuli related to the feeling or information, or some of them call it clair empathy. Now, I know that I'm an empath. And I know that I can be in a room and I absorb lots of energy from people. And sometimes I have to get to myself because, you know, people can drain me because I'm feeling so much. And to take it to the ancestral realm, it was so, it's so cool, because I used to lay in my bed. She hasn't done this in a long time. You know, I used to have the little Jerry curl thing going there, so your hair is like you just got the little curls in your head. Well, I used to lay in my bed, and I would know when my maternal grandmother was there, because I would feel the ever so gently the strands of my hair, just like somebody was flipping my hair back and rubbing my hair. And I used to say, okay, Mommy, I feel you. Thank you for being here to comfort me. Because I could feel her ever gentle touch stroking my curls on my head. And it was just so to know that she was there during those times. Yeah, I'm a feeler. And sometimes being a feeler can be detrimental to the person who feels. Because they're sucking up other people's energy, or if they're not careful, there are energy suckers that will drain a feeler dry. And, you know, I learned that
they walk through a room and clean the room. That's what we say.
Well, I learned a long time ago. Well, I just recently learned that I'm really an introvert. You know, I gave my strength, you know, in my alone time, you know, because I give so much of it away when I'm surrounded by people, you know. So, yeah, we have the clear, and then the how do you say, the complement of that clear sentience is clear scent. And I think that's really called clear, goosebumps is taste. To smell a fragrance, odor, or substance of food which is not in one's surroundings. My grandmother, when she was near, used to smell fresh baked gingerbread. I would smell gingerbread, and I knew my mother's mother was in the room with me, you know? And it was so cool. Now, these odors are perceived without the aid of the physical nose beyond the limitations of ordinary time and space. Well, I have my physical nose, and I can smell this gingerbread. So if we're not going to be afraid of the spiritual realm, we've got to understand that they come to us in various ways and in many gentle ways, okay? Very gentle ways. Now, if it's coming to you in a harsh manner, then you would really want to know that you need to tell them that they need to cease and desist.
Right.
Because we ain't playing with no harshness. You know?
You gotta get out.
What do you say? You gotta get out.
Get out. Yeah.
I might sit in my apartment. I might see one of the leaves, just a leaf on one of my plants flicker out the corner of my eye, and I'll say, okay, now, all right. If you don't mean me any good, you need to get up on out of here. Okay.
Get out.
You got to go.
Out.
So, get out.
Well,
there's ways that we can, you know, we can touch this energy mm-hmm. and feel comfortable in it. I say touch.
It's about, here's the kicker, really, that we are not three-dimensional creatures. We only perceive ourselves as being three-dimensional.
That's right. Tell it like it is.
You know,
tell it like it
is. When we're born, we cannot see three dimensions. We have to learn to see three dimensions. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But we are not three-dimensional creatures. Everything that's why we say in our tradition, everything has Odu. And when we say that, we mean everything has a spiritual characteristic. There is an Odu that describes a door. There's an Odu that describes a notebook. There's an Odu that describes the jacket that you wear. Because everything is made of light and energy. Okay, so we only perceive it as being three-dimensional, and we only perceive it as having a three-dimensional boundary, but there are none, because atoms are constantly vibrating. They're moving, you know, at a certain vibrational speed and rhythm, which means there's always space.
And
we're
all
solid.
Made out of the same stuff that table or that phone is, that you're,
exactly.
Everything is made out of the same stuff.
Exactly.
It's vibrating at a different
exactly.
energy level.
Right. We're just perceiving that these things are solid, that we're solid. It's not true.
You know what?
It's
I
not
was
true.
Talking to my daughter today, and I had her going because I was saying nothing exists. There's nothing in this existence except what we perceive it as to be. And I
right.
said, now imagine you're sitting there in your room.
Mm-hmm.
Anything behind your perceived back is non-existent. It's empty. It's blank.
Mm-hmm.
Until
right.
you turn around and perceive that there's a pit over there.
Right, right. Exactly.
I mean, this is
deep. Quantum physics.
You know, sometimes I am driving my car, and I mean, this happens to me often. I am driving my car, and I see these hands moving on the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I just know that this is a costume that I'm wearing,
mm-hmm.
okay? This is not really me, this physical thing that's driving this
right.
car. And
right.
it just feels so weird but exciting. To know
it's
that
quantum.
I can become aware that this
right.
physical energy that's wrapped, that we call this meat suit that I have
right.
on,
this right.
it's not
right.
me. This
well,
is spirit
well,
in drag.
It is, and yet it isn't. It's the Matrix.
Yeah.
You remember? He's
yeah, I
like,
remember the Matrix.
You're in the Matrix,
mm-hmm.
and it is us. It's the nature of quantum physics, because everything exists at all times. Like you say, behind you, there is nothing, right?
Until you turn
Only
around
until
and
you
look.
Turn your head, and your mind constructs the reality for you.
I'm going to tell you, that's enough to drive a lot of people crazy. Yeah, but it's so true. There is a movie. Everybody out there, you need to get this movie. Now, it's an old movie, but you need to get this movie, and it's called What the Bleep.
Ooh.
What the Bleep Do We Know? And it talks about this. It talks about the fact that Columbus, the Indians had never seen, the Indians, the Native Americans had never ever seen a sail ship.
Right.
They had never seen a boat before.
Right.
So it didn't even exist in their perception. But the chief saw the waters, waves moving out there in the distance, and it was like, what the heck is that? Why is the water moving? Because they perceived the water, but they had never ever seen a sail ship. Okay.
They never had seen a ship. So they could only see the men rowing on the boats. They could only see the men when they were rowing on the boats because that's how their minds had to learn to see a ship.
Absolutely.
But it's the same thing. Check it out. I had this man talk about how his friend, now I'm talking to this man, we're talking together, like me and you talking, and he's telling me about his friend who was a, I forget what they're called, where, you know, you go into another country and you help from America. Oh, my God, what is the name
refugee?
Of these people? But anyway, huh, a what?
A
he wasn't like a missionary. It's like a government, like you are, oh, gosh.
An ambassador?
Peace Corps. He was a Peace Corps.
Okay.
He was in the Peace Corps, right? So he goes into the Peace Corps, and he goes into this remote village in the Congo, where literally it's so dense that everybody has to carve out the paths on a regular basis. Otherwise, it'll grow into their house. They won't have space to move. So they have to maintain the greenery around them, right? But they only have a vision, or they only have like a 2 foot ahead vision, because that's how dense the forest is, right? So they're only carving out 2 feet ahead of him. So what happens is his eyes atrophy, the muscles, and his eyes atrophy. That's how they explain it. Okay, but we know something else is happening, right? So he back home, and he's on the airplane, and he's freaking out because he can't see the people until they get within 2 feet of him.
Mm-hmm.
So they just kind of appear all the time.
That's cold.
And he has his eyes have to redevelop the ability to see beyond those 2 feet.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it is the same principle that our minds, see, we limit what we can see and experience. We are limiting ourselves.
Right.
You know? So, anyway.
Well, basically, they say it's the ego that does that. The ego calls itself protecting us from our own spiritual selves. You know, it's like a deep thing. You know, ego is scared of everything. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Oh, no, that leaf moved over there. No, that means something bad. Let me get one, you know. So let's go with these clears, because we want to touch them all, because there's people out there who are saying, well, I don't do that, and that's not me. Mm-hmm. Well, they have what's called clair tangency. It's clair touching or psychometry. Okay, that's what is commonly known as psychometry, to handle an object. There are people that can just hold on to your earring and read you like a book, read your spiritual energy, because your spirit. That's why when some of you don't realize, when you go out there and you go to the store and you buy these shells and you buy these stones and you buy certain things at the store, you have to cleanse them, because everybody has gone through that store, has picked that item.
Right.
And you're taking home other people's energy, okay? To handle an object or touch an area and perceive through the palms of your hands. Now, it's very important for me to bathe myself when I come home from UPS, because I bring home the energy of all those packages that are going all around the world. And all, not only are they dirty, but I bring home a lot of energy with me. You know, you have people who work in nursing homes, you work in prisons, they bring home a lot of that energy with them.
They should be having some bounties or some charms that repel some of that stuff when they go in. But that's another story.
I used to wear hematite. I used to wear hematite all the time, psychic protection, hematite.
Mm-hmm.
And I used
mm-hmm.
to have a supervisor that knew what the hematite meant. Matter of fact, I have a hematite
mm-hmm.
bracelet on right now, and I have lapis lazuli, psychic enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one to protect, one to enhance. And so he would see me with these on each arm, these silver balls. Hematite
mm-hmm.
is silver in color. They
mm-hmm.
look like, well, they're silver. And I had
right.
these silver orbs on around each one, each wrist. And he used to say, you better leave Yolanda alone because I'm going to tell you if ever she gets upset and them things break on her arm and start scattering all, you know you in big trouble. But that was his way of teasing me, not knowing that I don't wear it to do anything to anybody else. I just wear
right.
it to repel anybody else doing something to me.
Because right.
I am totally,
exactly.
I'm open. You know, my
yeah.
gifts are there, and you got to protect yourself.
Yeah.
So we have clear goose stunts. I like that word.
Mm-hmm.
That's clear tasting, to taste the substance without putting anything in one's mouth. There are people
mm-hmm.
who close their eyes and they taste color. You ever meet a person?
Yeah.
Yeah, they taste color. You know,
yeah.
it's like, that's amazing to hear somebody that can taste color. It is
mm-hmm.
claimed
mm-hmm.
that those who possess this ability are able to perceive the essence of a substance from the spiritual ethereal realms through taste. Then
mm.
there's the clear empathy or clear emotion. An empath is a person who can psychically tune in to the emotional experience of a person, place,
mm-hmm.
or animal. Clear empathy
mm-hmm.
is a type of telepathy to sense or feel within oneself the attitude, emotion, or ailment of another person or entity. Empaths
mm-hmm.
tune into the vibrations and feelings and feel the tones of the aura. I have the capability of stepping in. That's when I make one of the best social workers on the face of this earth. Because when
mm.
I sit in front of a client, I immediately put myself in their shoes, feel exactly what they're going through, and be very upset that I can't give them food stamps because they're $1 over income.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I never chose to go into my field, because empathy is my strength. And empathy was also my weakness. I would
yeah. mm-hmm.
much people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those are your clairs. And some people can channel a person. This is a person who allows his or her body and mind to be used as a mechanism for etheric world intelligence to bring psychic information or healing energy to others. And channeling is to allow this to happen. You know, like we said before,
mm-hmm.
I said before, when you sit down with a psychic or someone who has the gift to be able to do this, what happens is you are giving them permission to step into your energy field
mm-hmm.
and interpret what's going on there for
mm-hmm.
you, or the messages that are coming through for you. You're giving that permission for it to be done. It's
mm-hmm.
a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You know. So,
okay.
Oh. Like Fabio said, we are all spirit, temporarily forgetting who we really are. And dreaming that we are human, separated into men and women, and separated even further by sexual
mm-hmm.
preference and gender confusion.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I'm just waiting for us to get to the point that we really understand that we're all each other, literally.
That there is only one, and the one is the one that's created all of this because it needed some company. It's, you know what? That is such a beautiful, you know, the creator of the heavens, the earth, and all that is within and without. That is the mother. That energy, that essence, that Godhead, that is the essence. That's the mother of all stem cells.
Right.
Because from that one energy, my car is out there, this desk is here, I'm here, you're here, that man I see walking, his dog is there, and that man is me and I'm him.
And right. I mean, literally.
I'm sitting here talking to myself, that's you.
Right. Because we are exchanging ionic energy with each other. We're exchanging atoms so much that we have all been each other within our lifetimes, okay? They say we change atoms. I think they said, like, every 10 days we become a completely new person, and that's because we've exchanged all of our atoms with everything around us. Okay, so I'm like, we are literally each other.
That's true.
So that tells you how sick we are if we dare injure ourselves like this.
Yeah, and we're doing a horrible, horrible, horrible disservice to self.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. On a regular basis, you know. So I'm just waiting for me too. I mean, I'm in there too, because you know I'm fallible. I'm human. I'm waiting to win for me to wake up and just be like Zen. You know what I mean? You know, just be like, look, I'm here, man. I'm all right. Whatever. Angry? I'm not angry. No. Why would I be angry at myself?
Yeah. Well, I'm just a little bit impatient with myself because I want myself to, I want all of my cells to woke up.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to get to the point of where I'm just like, you know, sometimes my foot falls asleep. It's okay. You know, look at it that way. You know, what do I have to do to wake it up? You know, that kind of thing. So, but anyway. That's another, you know, we're off topic. So,
well, you've been getting ready to off topic close the show. I want to know what you're having for Easter dinner. Did you eat your dinner yet?
I did. I said, listen, you all, I have to go do my show at 5:00. And they were like, really? That's what you've been doing all this time up there where you close yourself away? Yep, that's what I'm doing. So we had lamb.
Really? That's what I'm going to have dinner and have lamb tonight.
Delicious.
Oh, I forgot you got all them lambs over there.
Right, roasted lamb, roasted potatoes, green beans, something called spinach spatikos. I can never pronounce it right, but it's like spinach and cheese kind of casserole kind of like thing. It's kind of dense, almost like brownies. You know, we have that. We had Rachel's mom made some ham. I didn't have any of that. My mother didn't have any of that. In fact, she was like, could you please use a different knife to carve that? I was like, absolutely not. Got you faded.
Did you say what?
Got you faded. Got you covered.
Okay. I'm getting ready to
What else do we have? String beans. Oh, curry cabbage rolls. And when we end the show, I'm going downstairs for peach cobbler and ice cream.
Oh, I want to be there. That sounds so good.
We want you to be here too.
My mother today, she was cooking some stuff too. Turkey wings or parts or something, and snap peas and green, you know. You know, when you live alone, it's like you just don't need to talk to people who live around family. You don't need to.
Right.
You know, so I'm going over to a friend's house. My my sponsee is, this is her, she's celebrating her second year sobriety at a meeting tonight, and I'm going to her house with her and her partner to have dinner with them. And then she and I will head out and go to the meeting, and I'll sit and hear her talk about, it's a beginner's meeting, step 1, 2, and 3. I don't know what step she's going to share on, but she's going to talk about her 2 years being sober. I'm so happy for her. I'm so proud of her.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's an accomplishment. It really is.
Yes, it is. Because I remember how hard it was my first 30 damn days.
Yeah.
I tell you, 30 days? Come on. Then 60 days? Oh, yeah. You know, it ain't easy. People think that that bad boy, it is not easy. When I was ready to make a year, I was ready to sabotage that bad boy. It scared me to death a whole year, and I hadn't had a drink. I didn't know what I was going to do without my friend alcohol to calm my nerves, to get me through the day, to get me to, you know, but I'm still sober. I have been 2 years on the June 1st. June 1st, 22 years. Yeah.
22 years.
And it's still scary because you can go back out at any time. You know. Scary thing.
Yeah. That's when that is a walk of faith.
Well, but for the grace of Allah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Wow, wonderful. Congratulations. And just think, I met you shortly after June 1st, 22 years ago.
No, you met me while I was still drinking. What, didn't you?
No, you had just...
I was sober when I met you.
I think you had just gotten sober.
Okay, all right.
I think
then
so.
I'm going to take that. Yeah,
I think it was
like some challenging
September
times for me back.
Yeah.
Very challenging, you know. So, but I got through them one day at a time, and that's all we have to do. That's all we have is one day. One day at a time, because we can lose it at any minute. Well, Miss Peach Cobbler lady, I guess we're going to say adieu to everyone and say goodnight, because I got to go and have dinner.
Yes, I got to have dessert. That's the important part, too. Everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Enjoy yourselves.
Okay, I will. You have a wonderful day also. And everyone out there, thank you for spending your Easter with us and enjoying our show. And hope we gave you some delicious information. Because go ahead, Fababo.
I just say, amen.
Yep.
I'm back behind you, amen.
Okay. We'll talk to you all, and we'll see you all in 2 weeks, and that'll be the show just before I have my shoulder surgery. Okay? I'm going to have surgery, everybody, but I think we're going to have a show just before that happens, the third Sunday of the month. Okay?
Okay, then. Have a good one. Take care.
You too. Good night, everyone. Thanks for sharing with us. Night-night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.